I'm Lee Blue, and this is Double Stack, where WordPress freelancers discover the tech stack and the business development stack to become high-value, sought-after WordPress consultants. So if you're tired of burning yourself out with those high-stress, low-budget projects, and you're ready to start working with clients you love at the rates you're really worth, then you're in the right place. All of this is 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. Let's talk about SEO for a minute, because I was asked, how can you bundle SEO services together into a web design package to generate recurring revenue? And my take on it is a little bit unusual and different, because I don't really like SEO. It doesn't mean I don't do it or I don't recommend it for other clients. I just don't like it. And I'll tell you why. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of there's a lot of variables in the mix as to whether or not it's going to be effective for you. I spent a ton of time back when we used to run that e-commerce platform that we talk about sometimes. I spent a ton of time diving deep into organic SEO for that platform. And it was so much work. I would spend hours and hours writing 2,000 word posts with videos and everything in it to try to reach an audience that wanted to sell stuff online and get better strategies to try to do all of that. Only to find that there was no way of really knowing which pages that you create actually get indexed by Google and drive a bunch of leads and traffic and everything. And I'll give you an example. One of the most popular posts that I ever published about e-commerce was how to basically charge for shipping on your checkout page. And I spent so much time writing that thing. I put all this research in there. It was like this super long post. There was videos involved and how to streamline the checkout page without too many roadblocks and everything. Just basically how to charge for shipping on your store. And it got a ton of traffic. Like even to this day, people still backlink to that thing. And the problem with it was not that it wasn't popular. It was definitely very, very helpful and it got a lot of traffic, but it didn't get any clients. It's like, in fact, I think for a long time, maybe even all the way through the life of that post, it was the number one trafficked page on the entire website. But it didn't drive any sales for us. Like we didn't actually convert leads from it. And so you ask, well, why not? What was the problem with that post? And the problem was I was connecting with the audience at the wrong time in their project development cycle for them to want to buy the product that we were selling, which was an e-commerce platform. And so you have to think, well, how can that be? Well, I think what was going on was everybody had already figured out what e-commerce platform they wanted. They figured out how to build the store and set up everything. And then finally they jump into, okay, well, I got to get the checkout page dialed in. How am I going to charge for shipping? And then they found my article, figured out some really good strategies for charging for shipping, implemented those strategies in their own platform, and then went on to just do their own thing without ever signing up for our platform, despite all of the effort that I had put into creating that post and despite how helpful it really was. And that's why I don't like SEO for driving traffic for conversions, because I didn't even know if that was a page that was going to get indexed. And then when it finally did, I didn't realize that it wasn't going to work out for conversions. So all of that time and energy was just thrown into something that wasn't very effective. So I want to give you 5 tips for how to avoid that issue and what are some things that you can do that are kind of in the realm of SEO that might be better than just kind of creating content and doing all the traditional stuff. Because like, of course, everybody says all the same stuff when it comes to search engine optimization, which is, you got to create content and then you can repurpose the content and do some link building and build a community and, all of these different. So there's nothing new or original about everybody already knows that. But I do have a different take on how I go about it. And it's really more along the lines of preparing to create content rather than SEO itself. And this is where I think a lot of the value can come as a consultant working with a client, and it's recurring revenue as well. And a lot of times I think what you'll find is the SEO sort of just fixes itself. Like you don't have, like as long as you structure the content properly on site and you do the other things, the link building and blah, 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 all the stuff that everyone does, SEO just solves itself. Like it's not really a thing to, it's not like a huge win. You know what I mean? It's one of those long-term, maybe it will work later kinds of things. So let's talk about the 5 things that I do instead, or really to kind of set the stage for more effective content creation in general for web designers working with their clients. And the first thing to think about is, who is the audience? Like, who are you writing for? And this is a huge, huge thing, because so many times when I'm doing a site audit for someone, or just kind of going through a content audit for a client or something like that, especially for web design, if you're thinking, well, what am I going to put on my site as a web designer? So many people write content for their peers rather than their clients. You know what I mean? So like, maybe you're learning about SEO, or maybe you're learning about tactics for social media, or maybe you're learning about e-commerce, or whatever it is that you're learning about. So many web designers will go out there and start posting, writing blog posts, or even doing a podcast, or just creating content around the things that they're learning. And it's attracting their peers. Like other web designers and other social media marketers and so forth might want to read what you're writing, but the business owners that you're trying to attract as your clients, they're not searching for that stuff. You know, they're not looking for how to do their own social media, or how to do, you know, web design related things. Like, they're not looking for that kind of content. And so the very first thing to think about is, before you go and create your content strategy, figure out, like, who is the audience, and does your audience search for the type of content you're planning to create? Seems like a really obvious first step, but it's often overlooked time and time again, especially when you're working with clients that do sort of technical stuff. It doesn't necessarily have to be like internet tech. Like, it definitely applies to web designers, but it also applies to like doctors and people that are in psychology and things like that. The medical sphere, like, they tend to write about like kind of the news and events and so forth that kind of go on into their realm, but it's really like not for regular people. It's more for their peers. So figure out who the audience is. Make sure you're creating content that's for them. That's thing number one. Thing number two is, where do you connect with them? Like where on the internet or in the real world are you going to find this audience? And it's probably going to be a combination of things. It's probably going to be a combination of maybe reaching out initially on social media, probably maybe video is very commonly involved now, even if it's just short clips of videos, like a YouTube short or Instagram reel or something like that. That kind of brings in some traction. Your website obviously will probably host a lot of this content, but then email. Email is a really, really big one that's oftentimes overlooked as well, because it's old. You know, like, nobody really likes talking about, nobody thinks email is sexy. I think email is sexy, but nobody thinks email is sexy. You know, they're like, you know, I want to do the fancy new stuff, you know, with videos and social media and all that kind of stuff. But you want to think through, where are you going to connect with this audience, so that when you create the content's formatted for that space. So for example, if you know that you want to connect with people on YouTube, you probably don't want to create like hour-long, you know, gigantic content, because most people don't watch content for that long on YouTube. As opposed to if you know that you're going to be working on podcasts where you do like these long form interviews that might be 30 minutes, 45, an hour, 3 hours, like if you listen to like the Joe Rogan podcast. So you want to think through, where are you going to put the content so that you can format the content in a way that's going to be effective for the platform that you're going to be using to connect with everybody. And that's a really important thing to think about. And you'll probably land on more than one solution. You'll probably land on a couple different things. And you might want to be able to take some long form content and then splice it up into smaller chunks. But you want to think through that up front, so that when you do the content creation, you're creating usable stuff. So that's thing number two. Thing number three is, what can you actually do to help the audience? And this really goes back to, who is the audience? Because you want to think through who it is, but you also want to be thinking through, what can you actually do to help them? Like, to give them something of worth, you know, something that they can do something with. And depending on who your audience is, that's going to be a different thing. So what you don't want to do with the content that you create, and it might be tempting to, is really shine the light on yourself. And to say, like, you should work with me because I've won all these awards and I have all these degrees and all these certifications and I'm so fantastic, you should work with me. Like, that's not the kind of content that's going to resonate with people. You want to be thinking through, how can I help people? What can they take away from having consumed this piece of content that will benefit their life in some way? And that's not the mindset that everybody comes at content creation with. A lot of it is educating people on why you think you're able to help them, rather than what they can actually do with the help. right? So it's much more me focused rather than others focused, and you want it to be others focused. And what can they take away from it? So that's the third thing. Like, what can you actually do to help people? And then you might even want to take that a step further, because what if you're working with someone that can do a lot of things? You want to make sure you're segmenting the content. So for example, take yourself for example, you can probably do a lot of things. You can probably do web design, you can probably do social media, you can probably do branding, you can probably do blogging and podcasting and email marketing and landing pages and sales funnels and lead magnets, and you can probably do a ton of things, right? So with all of those things out there, you don't want to create a piece of content that addresses all of that stuff at once. You're going to want to segment things up into chunks and have a really focused, narrowly focused topic for each piece of content that you create. This is also true with anyone else who does sort of technical stuff, like especially anyone in the medical sphere. They're going to be thinking, I can help people with all kinds of things. I can help people with weight loss. I can help people with blood sugar issues. I can help people with gluten sensitivity and like all of these different things that, they might be able to help folks with. And then you want to think through, well, as I'm thinking through the other things, like who is the audience and where am I going to connect it with them? You would then think through, how can I segment down what my client is doing so that we create basically content that's on point? And then rather than, doing that shotgun effect where you're creating everything all over the place, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to build authority for yourself in a specific space on a particular topic, which leads me into the fourth point, which is why are you able to help them, right? So this is the authority aspect of it. So when you're creating the content, you need to be an authority on the content so that people will hire you to help them with that thing. So then you want to say, well, okay, how do I reconcile the create authority for myself with the shining the light on other people thing that we just talked about? And this is a tricky thing, but it's not that hard once you get your head around it. The key to the whole thing is, what is there that is about you that positions you to have the authority and the expertise and the experience to deliver the thing that actually helps other people, right? So what I'm not talking about is like credentials, awards, certifications, and things that you may have won that doesn't really help with the topic at hand. So I'll give you an example about from my own background. So like I have a lot of certifications and awards and stuff. Like going all the way back to college, I can remember I graduated with magna cum laude. I was Phi Beta Kappa, top of the class. I've launched multiple $1 million businesses. I think I've done $3 million businesses and the fourth one that didn't quite make it to $1 million. But nevertheless, tons of businesses that have been incredibly successful. Just all kinds of things, But none of that matters. And it's like, I don't talk about that very much in this channel or in this group or anything, because none of it really matters, because very few of those credentials have anything to do with whether or not I can help you get clients for your web design business, right? So like if I go out there and say, yeah, I was, magna cum laude, Phi Beta Kappa, won all these awards. And they're like, well, okay, great. But how do I get clients for my web design business, right? So like that's not the kind of content that people really, really care about. I could even go and say, hey, I've launched 3 businesses, all of which that have achieved $1 million status. It's like, okay, so what? How am I going to get clients for my web design business? That's what people really care about. So instead of just kind of shining the light on yourself, say this is the aspects of my past experience that contribute to me being able to help you get clients for web design, right? So for example, one of the things that I'll say is I've been doing web design for almost 20 years. I've gone through all the different phases and stages of how do you build a web design business. And I've learned the hard way some of the times. I've learned the easy way through like mentorship and having people in my life kind of guide me. And I've just built up a ton of experience with regard to how to get clients for web design. And that's why I can help you get clients for web design. So like that's the whole idea behind how do you talk about yourself without shining the light on yourself that much. Because what you're really doing is saying, what is there about my past that positions me to be able to help you get the result that we're really talking about in the content that we're creating? And the same thing goes for your clients too. Like you might be able to talk about, say you're working with a doctor and the doctor has all these degrees and credentials and went to all the best schools and did all the great things. But you would probably want to pull out some of the reasons why that doctor is specifically able to help to help with weight loss. You know, so maybe they have a lot of case studies about weight loss, and that might be an example of something that you might talk about, or the different case studies, which is a great source for content. It could be maybe overcoming a personal challenge. Maybe they had a big weight loss issue to overcome and they were successful at that. And then now they can coach other people how to do the same sort of a thing. Or maybe they have access to a particular type of like quizzes and like personality profiles or metabolic typing profiles, things like that, to figure out what kinds of diets would be most effective for you. And because I have access to metabolic typing, other people generally don't focus on that, but that's why I'm able to get better results. You see what I mean? So what we're doing is we're talking about why you have authority by talking about how your authority actually helps other people get the results that they want, which then of course goes back to the other things we were talking about, which is, who is the audience? Where do you connect with them? And what can you do to actually help them? All of these things are stacking on each other. And then you get down to the last one, which is, how are you going to start the relationship, right? So we've gone through who is the audience. So you're making sure you're not talking to your peers, but actually the client you're trying to attract. Then we have, where do you want to connect with them? Is it going to be social media? Is it going to be email? Is it going to be video? Is it going to be the web? So that as you create the content, it's going to be in the proper format for those channels. Then you think through, what can you actually do to help, right? So you don't want to talk about your credentials and degrees and certificates and all that other stuff. You want to talk about the thing that the client gets out of it, like the benefit to them. And then you think, how can I have the authority to deliver that help? And so that, again, is you kind of pulling out your own bio, your own history or whatever, and saying, these are the reasons I'm particularly well-positioned to do the things we're talking about. And then you say, okay, well, what are we going to do to start the relationship? And that would be, what's the call to action? Like what's the next step? Okay, say they consume the content that you just created. Well, what do they do if they want more? Like, do you have a community that they can join? Do you have like a newsletter, email opt-in? Do you want them to schedule a call to do a consultation? Like what's that next step going to be? Because this is the one that really matters. Like, this last step, that's the thing where, like, you can do all the other steps just fine, but if you don't do this last one, so what? Because you're not getting any leads. So this last one is the thing that you really need to think through, which is, how am I going to start that relationship? And again, the whole point of this conversation was, what's my take on SEO? A lot of times that's kind of what kind of brings people in. You know, it's kind of the first exposure to who you are and the types of things that you do, but it doesn't really start the relationship yet. There's usually some next step for them to give you a piece of information. Could be their email address, could be setting up a time to talk on the phone, like, so a phone number. It could be joining a Facebook group that you've set up. It could be subscribing to your YouTube channel. It could be following you on social media. It's like, you want the client to do something, right? Because you did something to try to initiate the relationship. You want them to do something to respond to that. And you want to think through what that is. So as you're creating the content, you have that next step. And it should be pretty easy and obvious to know exactly what it is, because as you're creating the content, you're going to want to be thinking, okay, how can I figure out how to help people so that once people want the help, it's really clear and easy to know what the next step is. And it doesn't have to be a paid step, right? Like, you could have a multi-step approach to onboarding clients. It could just be as simple as subscribing to a YouTube channel or joining a Facebook group. Or you know, subscribing to your podcast or something like that, just so that you're building that following. So you want to think through all of those things. And these are all things that you can do on a recurring basis for every single piece of content that you create. And that's why we're talking about this with regard to recurring revenue. Because every single time you create a piece of content, you want to think, who is the audience? Where do I connect with them so I can format the content properly? What can I actually do to help them? Like, what's something that they can take away from this? Even if they don't do anything else, even if they don't take the call to action or hire you or do any of the other things, the content should deliver some little nugget of gold, you know, some little thing that they can take away and their lives will be better for it. And then you think, well, why are you, you know, what's your authority? How are you able to actually be in this position? And then the next step. And then you put all that stuff together and you release it. And then you just do it again and again and again. And the next thing you know, by doing that, you're going to probably find that people are sharing your content, you're getting the inbound links, you're improving your SEO ranking, but you're doing it with a strategy in mind. You're not just willy-nilly writing 2,000-word articles and hoping for the best. like I was just like, I started this whole thing out with the whole, how do you do shipping on an e-commerce store? Like, you're actually thinking through all of the different pieces to figure out what the next step is. Because the big problem with that whole, how do you do shipping on an e-commerce store, was I didn't think through all these steps, especially this last one, which is, what is the next step? Because if I had, it's pretty obvious that by the time you're figuring out how to charge for shipping on your site, you probably already built the site. You probably already have the pricing involved. You got your inventory all set up. You've obviously chosen a platform already. You're just trying to figure out, you know, the shipping thing. And if I had been thinking through these steps, I could have saved myself a lot of heartache, you know, kind of making sure, okay, well, what's the next step? Well, that's not going to work out with the whole shipping thing. But with this, it's like, if you're thinking it up front, then what's the next step that you want people to do? Then you've got the whole package. So for example, even right now, like I'm sort of, this is kind of meta because I'm sort of even doing it right now. Like, the next step for you, like if you're listening to this, and you're listening to it like on YouTube, well, like the video, put a comment down, let's start a conversation on the video, subscribe to the channel so you don't miss out on what else is, you know, other ways to monetize your web design business. Or if you're checking it out on Facebook, you know, come into our Facebook group, you know, go onto Facebook, search for Building High Value WordPress Sites, join this community, and then we can interact live. So those are the next steps, right? You don't have to spend any money or do anything. It's just, come on, be part of the community, join us, right? So it's going to be awesome. And do those things, and you're going to have a really cool SEO strategy. It's not really SEO, right? It's a much higher level thing, and it's going to be recurring revenue. And you package up a system like this, offer it to your clients, and you're going to have a winner. Because think about this, what if you don't do it? Who else could possibly do all of this stuff? Because if you've built their website, anytime you create content, the content's probably going to need to link back to the website in some way, even if it's an email. Like, say you send out an email, there's probably going to be a button or a link in there that says, hey, click this and learn more, and that's going to go back to the website, which you have access to because you built the website, right? So if you're, you know, positioning yourself to do all this stuff, you've got a lock on that. Now, here's the thing, if you don't, what if they want to do email marketing, but they get somebody else to do the email marketing? And now those guys are going to be like, oh yeah, well, we need to get access to the website so that we can, you know, update some stuff. And they'll be like, oh yeah, you need to get in touch with our web designer or whatever. It's like, oh no, why don't we just move the website over to our site and we'll host it for you. And then that way we have access to stuff. And then every time we send out an email, then, you know, everything's fine. Like, we'll just take care of it. We don't have to involve anybody else. And then, of course, the business owners are going to be thinking, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We're consolidating the team. It's less expensive. It's faster. It's easier. And then they call you and they're like, hey, we need you to transfer the website off to these other guys. And you're thinking, crap, I just lost my hosting and maintenance package, right? So it's like, and like any future updates to the website, the other guys are going to do it, right? So like, if you don't do what we're talking about here and instead kind of rely on other people to do it for you, then you end up losing even what you've got. Like, you end up losing the web design client, you end up losing the hosting, you end up losing the maintenance. You lose the whole thing because you've become irrelevant. You're no longer useful to the client because the other people are doing all the useful stuff. So it's really important to take this stuff and bring it in-house so that you can offer it to your client. And that's ultimately the whole point of DoubleStack. Like, the whole point of this mentoring program and this group and everything that we do is to get you both stacks. So you've got the tech stack so you can like technically implement the stuff, but you also have the marketing stack so that you can actually drive results with the tech stack, right? So it's the tech stack and the marketing stack, thus the name DoubleStack. It's kind of just a play on words on like full stack developer or whatever. But the idea is you want both things. You want the tech stack and the marketing stack and put those two things together, and boom, now you've really got something. And if you don't do it, whoever's doing the marketing stack is gonna suck the tech stack away from you and then you don't get either stack, right? So you really wanna make sure you have both. So if that's something that you want to talk about, definitely hop on the phone with me and we can get on the phone for free and talk about that. You can find that at doublestack.net/call. So go over to doublestack.net/call and you'll see my calendar pop up and we can just get on the phone and talk about how to get all this stuff working for you. And we'll get on the phone for free and talk for like 45 minutes about all that stuff. And but if nothing else, just at least subscribe to the channel, like the video, put a comment down below. We'll continue the conversation there. And if there's anything else that I can do to support you, just let me know. And I look forward to catching up with you soon.